It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Our study in the book of Ephesians has taken us to chapter 4, and we've been looking at verses 4 and 5. And notice it says in verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Well, we keep reading and we go down to verse 5 where it says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, last time we spoke about and talked about the Holy Spirit, and of course that was a carryover out of verse 4. And we discussed that in verse 4 as well. But something else that I'd like for us to look at concerning the Holy Spirit is this. As children of God, we should strive to not grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. We are His temple. We are God's temple. The Holy Spirit lives within us. And everything which displeases the Lord must be avoided. When we displease the Lord, the Holy Spirit is also displeased. Why? Because He is God. He dwells in us, and we are sealed by Him. And this is the evidence of our eternal security. Some people believe they can be saved today and lost tomorrow. Well, that is not true. Once you get saved, you have the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, and we're going to read that in just a moment. We are sealed actually by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Now, we may grieve Him, but He will never leave those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb. He abides with us forever. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22 says, who hath also sealed us. Now, we're sealed by whom? We're sealed by God, but notice this. Who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. We are sealed by God. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Nothing can break that seal. If someone or anyone or anything could break that seal, that would mean that that person, that thing, or whatever it might be who thinks or who could break that seal would be greater than God. And we know that there's no one greater than our Heavenly Father. There's no one greater than our Savior Jesus Christ. There is no one greater than the Holy Spirit of God. So we're sealed unto the day of redemption. One Spirit. There's only one Spirit, and that Spirit is the Holy Spirit of God. Now notice this. Let me quickly add this before we move on. I say there's only one Spirit. There's only one Spirit concerning salvation. There's only one Spirit concerning who is God. And that is the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit who indwells every believer. Now, there are evil spirits. We know this. The devil has his imps. He has his workers. And he always has something to try and counterfeit the things of God. But he could never reproduce the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come into our lives as saved people. He's come into us to live. And we have Him and He has us. Well, notice verse 5 also talks about one baptism. Now, there were different baptisms under the law, in other words, Jewish customs. There was also mentioned in the Bible several other baptisms. One of those baptisms would be the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible says, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. This is Jesus speaking. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. There's the Holy Spirit again. But notice that's speaking of being immersed in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is immersed within us. He's within us. He lives within us. And that's hard to understand as a human being. But I know the Bible says it, and I believe it, that we have been immersed, that He is immersed in us. He's there, the Holy Spirit. So the Jews not only had their Jewish customs of baptism, but we see that the Holy Spirit is talks about being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Well, baptisms are mentioned in the Bible. There is but one baptism under the gospel. Jesus told the apostles and the local church today to do certain things. And one of those things was about baptism. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." This is Jesus speaking. "Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Well, this tells me that, that some people will tell you must be baptized to be saved. And we may see some more about that in just a few moments. But right in that one verse there tells me that you're saved before you get baptized. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." What do you teach them? You teach them about Jesus Christ. You tell them that Jesus saves. And then they respond favorably by asking Jesus to come into their heart. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Then baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, the mode of baptism for the believer, this is actually, we'll look at that in just a moment about the mode, but baptism, water baptism, that is only for believers. They're the only ones to be baptized according to the Bible. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." You notice what God is doing here in His Word. He's making it clear that a person needs to believe before they're baptized. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Somebody says, "Well, you see, there you've got to be baptized." But read the rest of the verse. It says, "But he that believeth not shall be damned." A person, if he's baptized, that doesn't mean he's saved. It doesn't say if he's not baptized, he's going to be damned. It says if he believeth not, that person is going to be damned. Why? Because that person has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's the only way a person is saved, and that's the only way a person is going to go to heaven. Notice once again, Matthew 28:19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." That's the reason when you see a person baptized in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church, you'll hear the pastor say, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of His death, raised in the likeness of His resurrection." When that person is standing there in the baptistry or in the water, and I've baptized people in rivers before and in creeks, where they would be standing up, that is a representation of the crucifixion of Christ when that person is standing there. When that person is placed down into the water, that's a representation of being buried. Christ was buried, of course. He was not. He didn't have a little bit of dirt sprinkled on him. He was buried. He went into the tomb. And that's the way a person is. A person goes down into the water. And that is a representation of the burial of Christ. And then that person is brought up out of the water. And that's a representation of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the mode of baptism is something that that people have argued about, and there should be no arguments. Now, notice Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Well, the gift of the Holy Ghost is Himself. He comes to live with the person who gets saved. But notice Peter said, "Repent and then get baptized." Repent. Change your mind about how you're going to go to heaven. You're not going to go to heaven but one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. And you finally decided that that is the way, and you're going to go God's way, and that is through Jesus Christ. You're going to trust Him as your Lord and Savior. And you're not going to be trusting in baptism to be saved. You're going to be trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, now I've mentioned the mode of baptism a couple of times, but let's look at it now. Let's look at the word baptism, water baptism. Now, if you look up the Greek, you'll find that there's a couple of words here, bapto or baptizo, and this means to overwhelm. It means to cover wholly. Also, it makes it means to make fully wet. So when a person is baptized, they are to be fully, wholly immersed in water. An example of being fully submerged in water is found in Acts chapter 8 and verses 36 through 39. And we see in those verses some interesting facts. You remember that Philip, he saw the Ethiopian eunuch, and he asked him, he says, "You understand what you're reading there?" The Ethiopian was reading the Word of God. Well, Philip told the man. The man first told him, he says, "How can I know what I'm reading except someone show me?" So Philip showed him. He told him what the scriptures are saying, where he's reading in Isaiah, and he explained to him, and he preached to this Ethiopian, and he gave him the plan of salvation out of the Word of God. Well, we read here that the Ethiopian eunuch, after he got saved, he wanted to do something. And the first thing I see here is that the Ethiopian was saved before baptism. Notice in Acts chapter 8, verses 36 and 37, it says, "And as they," this is Philip and the Ethiopian, "and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?'" What's going to keep me from being baptized? What's left? What do I have to do to be baptized? And verse 37, Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest," in other words, you can be baptized. "And the Ethiopian answered, and he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.'" The Bible says that it's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And this is what the Ethiopian did. He was confessing Jesus Christ with his mouth. He was telling Philip that he actually was saved, that he had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, we look at that verse and we say, sometimes people will say that you confess the Lord with your mouth and you have to do that to be saved. Well, that's not what it's teaching in the book of Romans. It's teaching us that because we are saved, we're to open our mouths and we're to tell people about Jesus Christ. Well, notice something else here. Not only that, we then notice that both of these people, Philip and the Ethiopian, went down into the water. Verse 38 of Acts chapter 8 says, "And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch." I believe that Philip got wet that day as well. Both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Philip baptized the eunuch. And verse 39 says, "And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." Well, you know, you and I as saved people, now I'm going to pick this up the next time right here where we're leaving off about the Ethiopian, about baptism. But, you know, you and I as saved people, we don't know when we're going to be caught up out of this world. And that means that we need to be working for the Lord right now. Philip was working for the Lord. He didn't know when he was going, where he was going next. But just as soon as he had given this Ethiopian the plan of salvation, the Ethiopian got saved, he got baptized, Philip was caught away. How about you? Do you know when you're going to be caught away, when you're going to be going with the Lord? Of course you don't know the exact time or hour. So therefore, you and I need to be busy serving God today, letting Him lead us and guide us through this life and helping other people find Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, just as Philip helped this Ethiopian find Jesus Christ through the Scriptures. You need to be studying, and you need to help other individuals know Jesus Christ today as Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.